A long time ago, God made some extraordinary promises to a man named Abraham. But what does that have to do with you and me some 4,000 years later? We'll find out today as Dr. Gary Hedrick discusses the Abrahamic Covenant right here on Messianic Perspectives. This is Messianic Perspectives, where we look into the scriptures from a distinctive messianic point of view. I'm Liz Aiello. Today, our study focuses on the Abrahamic Covenant, which includes seven promises God made to Abraham some 4,000 years ago. You may be surprised to learn that those promises have far-reaching implications, even for us today. I'll be back at the close of the program with news about a special offer. And now, here's Gary.
Thank you, and we welcome you, listening friend, to this edition of the program. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, "Get thee out from thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." Verse 3, "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." That's the Abrahamic Covenant, seven basic provisions. And so far, we've seen that the first of those provisions was that God would make of Abraham a great nation, the nation Israel. Then the second provision had to do with personal blessing on Abraham. And now the third promise embodied in the Abrahamic Covenant is that Abraham's name would be great. Look again at Genesis 12:2. The Lord says, "And I will make thy name great." In other words, Abraham would be a man of great renown. The fulfillment of this provision has been unmistakable, my friend. Next to Jesus Christ himself, Abraham is undoubtedly the most widely recognized character in all of the Bible. The world's three major religions, Christianity, Islam, and Judaism, all look to Abraham as a patriarch. His name is indeed great. Number four, the fourth provision of the Abrahamic Covenant was that Abraham would be a blessing to the world. Again, Genesis 12, verse 2, the Lord said to Abraham, "Thou shalt be a blessing." In the Hebrew, this phrase is not merely a prediction, but a divine mandate. It's an order. Abraham, you be a blessing. You see, that's really why God called the Jewish nation out from among the other nations of the world to be his chosen people. It was because God was commissioning the Jews to be a conduit through which he would bless all the nations of the world. And that includes the Arabs, by the way. One day, the Arab people will realize what a mistake it has been to work toward the destruction of the nation Israel. Because in the end, Israel will be the means by which Jehovah God will bless the Arabs and the Palestinians and all the other nations of the world beyond anything they ever hoped or imagined. Did you know that during the millennium, part of the promised land will be allocated to the Arabs and Palestinians? Did you know that? They will have an inheritance in Eretz Israel in the millennium. So Israel's position as the chosen people should not be misconstrued to mean that God has placed the interests of the Jewish people above those of other nationalities. If you have a Bible handy, turn with me to the New Testament, will you? The book of Acts, chapter 10. I want to show you something here. This is where the Apostle Peter stunned the first century Jews who considered themselves spiritually superior to the Goyim, the Gentiles, by something he said. And here it is in verse 34 of Acts chapter 10. He said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." That's Acts chapter 10, verses 34 and 35. Now remember, he was speaking to Jews, who considered themselves a cut above everyone else, superior. They thought the other nations were barbarians, unclean. But Peter stands up and tells his Jewish brethren, now listen to this, he tells his Jewish brethren that God is no respecter of persons. Not exactly what they were accustomed to hearing, believe me. But if it's true that people from all nations are accepted by God through the sacrificial atonement of Jesus Christ on an equal basis, then in what sense were the Jews uniquely called by God? And why? Well, in the next verse, Peter explains the purpose of Israel's divine calling. Now listen to what he says. He says, "The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all." Acts 10:36. That's the answer. Did you hear what he said? The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, God's word was sent unto the children of Israel, the Bible says. It says, unto them were committed the oracles of God. Then, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. So the Messiah, Jesus Christ, was also sent through Israel. What he's saying is this, the Jews were commissioned to be the means by which God would send, first, the Bible, the written word, and secondly, the Messiah, the living word. The Jews were chosen to be the conduit through which God would bless the entire world. Through the Jews, he would send the Bible. Through the Jews, he would send the Messiah. That's why God commanded Abraham from the very beginning to be a blessing. Thou shalt be a blessing, he said. That was the fourth provision of the Abrahamic covenant. Number five, the fifth provision of the covenant established the principle of blessing for blessing. In Genesis 12:3, the Lord told Abraham, "I will bless them that bless thee." That's the principle of blessing for blessing. And what it means is simply this. Nations who bless and sustain the Jewish people will prosper and flourish under the hand of Almighty God. Now, that's a principle that's held true for 3,500 years, my friend. And it's still true today. And it's something we'd better not forget. The nations who bless the Jews are the ones God blesses. You know, it's interesting when you look at the story of Joseph, who is taken to Egypt after his conniving brothers sold him into slavery. The Bible says, now listen to this. It says, "The Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field." What a fascinating statement. Potiphar was a pagan Egyptian who worshipped the gods of Egypt. He probably worshipped the sun god, Amun-Ra. Yet the Bible says he enjoyed Jehovah's blessing simply because Joseph lived in his house. Now think about that, my friend. God blessed old Potiphar, a pagan, an Egyptian, for Joseph's sake. Blessing for blessing. It's a principle that's held true for 3,500 years. Many nations have been blessed for Israel's sake. And that includes our own United States of America. In fact, not many people know this, but the United States may owe her very existence to the Jewish people. Let me explain what I mean. First, it's very possible that Christopher Columbus was Jewish. Christopher Columbus, yes, Christopher Columbus, believe it or not, the man who's generally credited with opening up the New World for exploration and who paved the way for the beginning of the New World as we know it, may very well have been Jewish. So I'll tell you what we're going to do. On the next program, and it might even take the next two or three programs, we're going to see if we can find out who Columbus really was and what he was really up to when he set sail in 1492. We've been researching this over the past several weeks, and with the help of a rabbi friend up in South Carolina, I think we've uncovered some information that you're going to find interesting. It'll put Columbus and his historic voyage in a completely different light. So be sure to join us next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Gary. And thank you, listening friend, for tuning in today. It's always good to have you with us as we look into God's Word together. When you write this week and include a gift of $6 or more, we'd like to send you the CD of this entire series of studies on the Abrahamic Covenant. What are the seven provisions of the covenant? Is it conditional or unconditional? Will it be fulfilled literally or only spiritually? And what does the Abrahamic Covenant have to do with more recent events like the American Revolution and the Holocaust? These are just a few of the interesting questions Gary addresses in this series, and it's available this week for a contribution of just $6 or more. Just visit our online store at messianicspecialties.com. If you would prefer to order by mail, just address your request to Messianic Perspectives, P.O. Box 345, San Antonio, Texas, 78292. To order by phone, use our toll-free order line from the U.S. The number is 1-800-926-5397.
Hi, this is Rob Styler with CJF Ministries. I'm really excited to tell you that next year we will be returning to Israel. I think this will be our best tour ever. Fantastic itinerary, fantastic guide, fantastic hotels. Love to have you join us. Go to cjfm.org, look for the tours, or please feel free to email me, robs@cjfm.org. It's robs@cjfm.org. See you then.
Have you enjoyed this edition of Messianic Perspectives? Why not continue to learn about the Jewish roots of your Christian faith by inviting a speaker from CJF Ministries? Call our toll-free number, 1-800-926-5397, and we'll be happy to handle all of the details. You'll be glad to know that our daily programs are available as downloadable podcasts. We're listed in the iTunes Music Store. Just access the music store through the link on our homepage at cjfm.org or by searching for Messianic Perspectives at the iTunes Music Store. You'll find the subscription information there. Would you rather listen on your computer? Our broadcasts are also available as webcasts. Just click on the media link on our homepage at cjfm.org. Once again, our web address is simply cjfm.org. By the way, listening friend, has it been a while since we've heard from you? It's very important that if you're listening, please let us know you're out there. You know, almost every time we drop a station from our network, we receive letters from people who say, "Why did you drop our station?" But then we check our files and find out they never bothered to write while we were on their station. So don't wait until it's too late. If you enjoy the program, let us know. You see, we don't want to drop a station if people are listening and we're having a ministry in their lives. But if no one is listening, we can take those funds and go on a station somewhere else. The only way we have of knowing whether or not you're listening is if you tell us. So we'll look forward to hearing from you. Just drop us a line at Messianic Perspectives, P.O. Box 345, San Antonio, Texas, 78292. Or email us at info@cjfm.org. And as always, when you're in touch with us, please mention the call letters of this station. If you're listening to our webcast or podcast, we need to know that too. This is Liz Aiello. Join us next time, won't you, as Dr. Gary Hedrick continues our series on the Abrahamic Covenant, right here on Messianic Perspectives. Messianic Perspectives is sponsored by CJF Ministries of San Antonio, Texas, and is made possible on this station by the free will contributions of our listeners in this area.